Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. My name is Viv.
And I'm Nick, and you're listening to Treadmill Talk.
In Treadmill Talk, we'll sit down with industry experts in the world of health and fitness with some good banter and yarns along the way.
We're all about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Powered by Flex Fitness.
Welcome back, guys, to Treadmill Talk. We are lucky enough to have a special guest that we've already had on before, Jake Campos from Jake Campos Nutrition. Welcome.
That's me.
Welcome.
Hello, hello. Kia ora.
Thanks for having me.
No worries. We love having you on. And we've got my co-host, Nick.
Hello, everyone. Guys. How are we?
And obviously, Viv here as well.
Hey, Viv.
Hi, team. Jake, what have you been up to?
Oh, man, what haven't I been up to?
It's been a year.
A year. So in a year, I've competed twice.
Twice.
Yep, so once at the Australian Pro-Am, and then I've just come back from the WBFF World in the Bahamas. So
awesome.
That's been awesome. In between, there's a few trips to Aussie.
Yeah.
Went to Miami, been working on the company, growing that. So, you know, we've grown that. Another couple more staff members, a few more nutritionists added.
Yes.
Grown the online portfolio of clients and also trying to make that a better experience for them with lots of information now. Nutrition hub for our online clients. So just trying to just keep pushing.
Busy.
Yeah, keep busy.
You
keep
are
pushing,
very, very
keep
busy.
Growing.
And here at Flex, we're very lucky because Jake is actually in the same office and we've been able to see you guys grow and also do all your adventures that you have. And it's really cool to see, you know, our friends alongside us, you know.
It's cool having everyone around, being positive, supporting each other.
For sure, for sure.
Myth-busting 101 with JCN.
We got these from our collected fans and emails.
Yeah, we've had submissions all week.
It's good, I love busting
myths. And we're ready to roll. Okay, so myth number one. Is it true that the ketogenic diet is the best diet to lose weight?
No.
No, okay, why?
So the studies show if calories are equated, meaning you do a ketogenic diet of 1,400 calories and a diet with carbohydrates of 1,400 calories, protein is the same, you will lose the same amount of weight. The thing that causes the weight loss is not the ketogenic diet, but the energy expenditure caused from being in a calorie deficit.
Okay.
So it is being in a calorie deficit that drives fat loss, not being ketogenic. Now, what is ketogenic diets good for? Well, the ketogenic diet's been around since the 1920s when it was first discovered for epilepsy. Then it re-popped its head up in the 80s as the Atkins diet. Now it's back again for round three.
I feel like it's gotten through all the names. Like I've heard of all these names. So it's the same thing?
Same thing.
Oh, okay.
Same principle.
Really?
It is. The only thing it's really good for is reducing symptoms of epilepsy and epileptic patients. They use it in special forces because they can carry food such as fats with them without taking up a lot of space in their their backpacks when they're doing operations. So they get them keto adapted, which means their bodies run off fats, which means they can carry a lot more food for less room in a backpack.
Jeez, that's interesting.
Apart from that, for fat loss is really no different. And if you have to cut a whole food group out, e.g. carbs, and you want to go eat carbs again, then you actually become quite sensitive to carbs. So putting on weight becomes an issue after the ketogenic diet.
Mm.
So my advice is do your research. Follow my Instagram page because we love smashing out myths like this.
Yeah.
And we can put you on the right track for how to get the fastest result without sort of putting these extreme measures into play.
Sensitive to carbs? What do you mean by that?
So when you remove carbohydrates from your diet, your body becomes very sensitive to them. So you can't tolerate them as much. So you eat carbohydrates and it causes more of an insulin response leading to weight gain. So a lot of people when they come off a keto diet find they put on weight very fast because their body isn't used to dealing with that amount of carbs anymore because they completely eliminated it. So when you eat carbohydrates, your body releases a natural amount of insulin to deal with those carbohydrates. Obviously being a diabetic, they don't produce insulin, so that's the issue why they have to inject insulin. So we produce it naturally. You stop eating carbs, your production of insulin slows down, so you can't tolerate them as much, leading to weight gain after being on a ketogenic diet, which is why a lot of people then get stuck in that diet, vicious diet circle
which
of
is the,
weight regain, weight loss, weight regain, weight
and
loss.
And they go, the ketogenic diet works for me.
Yeah.
And then, so your advice is to just hang in there on that transition period.
Yep. So yeah. If you're currently doing a ketogenic diet, then, you know, slowly reintroduce carbohydrates at a very slow rate, and not by, you know, watch the scale. If it's going up, then, you know, you need to probably pull back. And then once it maintains and you can add a little bit more in, while you're adding in carbs, you can pull back on your fats. Because remember, if you're adding in carbs on top of those fats, you're taking in quite a lot more calories. If you're looking for a weight loss solution, then I wouldn't look towards ketogenic. I'd look at more of a balanced diet approach. So, you know, set your protein levels and then set your fat levels and fill the remaining calories with carbohydrates. Now, some people prefer higher fat diets, but and that's just personal preference, and that works as well, but you don't need to completely eliminate carbohydrates. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You're just dropping knowledge bombs.
I know.
Already.
I'm like, okay. Every time he comes in here, I'm like, Jake's a book.
Yeah.
That's how we feel.
Bit, like, yeah, a little encyclopedia. Yeah. Okay.
It's hard living up here, guys. That's the problem, though.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it must be like walking into a supermarket. Mm. Okay, so myth number two. Should a reduction in salt be advised to lower blood pressure, and does it reduce your risk of heart attacks?
So I guess let's look at the RDI. So recommended daily intake for sodium for a New Zealander is between 900 milligrams and 2,300 milligrams, which is equivalent
a
to
day.
Yep, which is equivalent to 1 teaspoon of salt per day. Now, if you look at that, like a lot of products that we take in, so like you eat some bread, you don't think that there's actually sodium in there, but there's sodium in there.
Yeah.
You have some ketchup, there's sodium in there. So you're getting indirect sources of sodium throughout the day. So the average New Zealander actually consumes 3,500 milligrams of sodium per day. So if you're looking for reducing blood pressure, the first thing that you would do would be consult your doctor and limit your sodium intake. Don't completely annihilate it, but limit it. But do you need to be low sodium to have better heart health? No, you just need to be in those RDI ranges, so 900 to 2300. So okay. Looking just basically a moderate sodium approach. If you're an athlete, remember every time, or even just a regular gym goer like a lot of the people listening to this, every time you sweat, you lose sodium, which is salt, electrolytes.
Yeah.
So you do need to have some in the diet to replace that. Otherwise, you're going to get really poor muscle contractions. You're not going to get much of a pump when you're in the gym, and you can also lead to electrolyte imbalances as well. So don't want to go zero salt, but you don't want to go too high.
Too much.
So is that RDI increases if you're athletic?
Slightly, yeah. So my athletes would have closer to probably 4,000 milligrams of sodium per day, just because they would be sweating, you know, a litre or so of fluid out, which means there's a lot of sodium loss during that time.
Is it best to eat small meals throughout the day to get your metabolism going, the flame?
We used to believe that, but in saying that, it's not going to have probably as greater effect of your overall energy balance. So what you want to look at is the thermic effect of food. So that's called TEF.
And what
when
is
you
that?
Eat food, your body has to break it down. Now that costs your body energy. If you eat more times per day, you're breaking food down more times per day. So it's probably going to have a small effect on your TEF. Is it going to actually increase your metabolism? No.
Okay.
So if you like 3 meals per day, eat 3 meals per day. If you like 4, eat 4. If you like 6, eat 6. What we advise our clients is don't try and put yourself in a pigeonhole of what you think you should do because that's what someone else is doing.
Mm.
Work with someone like ourselves at JCN or devise a plan that you think you can stick to, because at the end of the day, consistency is going to override you trying to fit into a plan for 1 week and then falling off a week later.
Very true.
Guess that's what a lot of people do.
They think, oh, I have to eat 7 times a day, but they might not have a job that allows them to do so.
Yeah.
So then they get frustrated that they can't nail it, and then they just go eat crap because they're frustrated they can't do what they think they should be doing.
And that's where the bad relationship
comes
from. Okay.
So what we do is we try to work around the lifestyle of the client. That's why our online program and our face-to-face program is called the Lifestyle Program, because we want to know what works for you. And then we can build it to get the best results for you.
Mm.
Now, hey, if that's 2% less than eating 6 meals per day, but 4 meals per day, but you stick to it for 20 weeks rather than 1 week, then by the end of it, you're going to get your goal, whereas the guy who stuck to it for 2 weeks is not.
Right. Very true.
So simple when you put it like that.
I know.
Right? Myth number 4. Okay, so egg yolks should be avoided because they are high in cholesterol. Is this true?
Yes, they are high in dietary cholesterol. Mm. No, they do not need to be avoided because dietary cholesterol has no impact on serum cholesterol, which is cholesterol in the blood. So if you actually had high cholesterol, the best thing you could do is lose weight, moderate your carbohydrate and sodium intake, and that would be better for your cholesterol profile than just eliminating eggs from your diet.
Okay. Recommended eggs per day.
Again,
for a normal person.
Again, it doesn't. As long as you're reaching your macronutrient target. So let's say your target is, 100 grams of protein and 40 grams of fat. Mm-hmm. If you're eating two eggs, you just have to account for the fat in the yolk and the protein in the egg as well. And that goes towards your daily macro total. Your cholesterol isn't going to have an impact on what you consume through those eggs, provided all other things are created equal. The worst thing for your health markers, such as cholesterol, blood lipids, high blood pressure, is excess body weight. What we see is most people who lose 5 to 10% of their body weight, all of those things return to the healthy ranges without having to do anything extreme like eliminating eggs or, not eating bread. It's about losing that weight that gets them in the healthy rate range and the healthy profile for cholesterol and other things like blood lipids and blood pressure.
Yeah. Okay. Myth number five in this one.
Right. This is probably my
favorite. This is close to home, this one.
Yeah, I think a lot of us.
I've got some good news then.
Oh, that's good.
All right.
Okay. Go. Coffee is unhealthy and should be avoided.
You'll break so many hearts if it's
incorrect.
Yes.
There you go.
Coffee decreases the incurrence of type 2 diabetes, Alzheimer's, depression, and Parkinson's. So coffee in moderate amounts, which I would say is 2 cups per day, is totally fine. Now, if you're drinking 5 or 6 cups per day, that's getting on the dangerously high side of caffeine, and that's going to have your heart rate elevated, which could cause issues with, anxiety, and that's going to cause issues with blood pressure, and obviously having a high heart rate for a long period of time is not great for you, okay? So again, it's context.
Yeah.
Don't be smashing 6 coffees a day being like, I'm not going to get Alzheimer's. You've got to understand the context of it. So in moderation, fine. Again, if you're adding 2 tablespoons of sugar and a whole bunch of full-fat milk to your coffee as well, then you're going to gain some body weight, which is going to have a bad impact on your other health markers. So again, context.
Black coffee in the office is popular.
Yeah, it is very popular. We do drink a lot of black coffee, but would you say it's okay to have couple
because
of those?
Instant as well. Like instant. Very low caffeine. You're looking at like 60 to 80 milligrams for an instant coffee versus...
It's just if we bought them,
The double shots are sort of your 110 to 150 milligrams. You're almost doubling the caffeine in it. So if you're having 3 or 4 of those a day, you're getting pretty high in the caffeine sort of mark. So, and then if you're having a Monster or a pre-workout when you go to the gym, that caffeine goes up and up and up and up. Yeah.
All right. I'll go to myth 6. A high protein diet increases strain on the kidneys. Oh, that's interesting.
That has only been shown in 2 studies with patients with pre-diagnosed kidney conditions.
Okay.
Again, context is everything. I can choose a study, I can leave out a few words and say, hey, high protein diets cause issues with kidneys. Well, yes, that's true, but I didn't let you guys know that the study was done in people with pre-existing kidney conditions. Mm-hmm. So, of course, when you have a pre-existing kidney condition, there's some certain guidelines of how much protein they should be having. And I have clients with this, and I've even had athletes with this, and we just have to moderate how much protein they have.
Yeah.
In the average New Zealander, if you're keeping within the recommended amounts of protein, you will not have any issues with your kidneys. Now, if you're eating more than sort of, for the average person, 2 to 2.5 grams per kilo of body weight of net protein per day, you're probably going to run into some sort of issues more, I would say, with digesting it and gas more than your kidneys sort of would handle. But if you did that for 10 years straight, I would say you would end up with some kidney stones. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Context is everything. Okay. Understand your requirements of what you need of each of these macronutrients, or once again, see someone like myself who can teach you that information, and then you'll never have to have issues with any of these things again.
But why would someone do a study like that just to back on protein and not tell you the keys to it? That's just to
funding.
Me,
a lot of things was the direction of where they want to go with things. So.
Okay.
you know, if I'm doing a study on, let's say, high protein diets, because I'm a huge advocate of the keto diet, which is actually a true keto diet is only 30% protein and 70% fat. So, you know, I would be funding that study or trying to promote that study to then promote what I'm pushing. And unfortunately, that's what happens in all industries, particularly in the medical and health and fitness industry. It's money makes the world go round. So these studies are either backed by big companies that are trying to push a product on you, or they're trying to make another product look inferior.
Yeah. Myth number 7. Okay. All calories are created equal. It doesn't matter which types of foods they come from.
Not all calories are created equal. So proteins and carbs have 4 calories per gram.
Okay.
Fats have 9 calories per gram. Alcohol, 7 calories per gram. So as you can see, there's a varying difference in the amount of calories per gram of these different types of food sources. Secondly, we have to look at not only calories, but macronutrient and vitamin and mineral content of them. Yes, if you're in a diet and you're eating 1,400 calories per day, and let's say you're tracking your carbohydrates and you want to eat 50 grams of carbohydrates per day, and you choose to eat them from sugar versus from sweet potato, is that going to have an impact on your fat loss? No, it's not, because you're still consuming 50 grams of carbohydrates. One's from sugar, one's from a lower GI source. In fat loss terms, that means nothing. Now, from a macro and micro perspective, nutrient-wise, the sugar is basically empty calories, whereas the sweet potato is going to give you a host of vitamins and minerals, also fiber that's going to keep you fuller for longer. So what one's superior? Well, the sweet potato, of course.
Right.
So that's, again, context. You know, if you're just looking at the numbers, then sure, if you want to eat some lollies in your fat loss plan, we have clients who eat dark chocolate right before bed. Does it stop them losing body fat? No, it does not. Does it keep them mentally on their meal plan? Yes, but are they eating a range of other carbohydrates to get their micro and macro and nutrient values up? Yes, they are.
Okay. What's macro and micro? I know, I don't know.
So
what
your macros are like your carbohydrates, protein, fats.
Yes.
Your micros are like your vitamins, minerals, nutrients, all the things that at a cellular level are really important.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you become deficient in, let's say, vitamin C, your immunity goes down, the ability to rejuvenate cells go down. So there's, you know, those things we need to cover off on as well. Mm-hmm. You couldn't just live on lollies, protein powder and peanut butter, because lollies are your carbs, your protein powder is your protein, and your peanut butter is your fat.
Yeah,
and just eat that 4 times a day, hit all your macro numbers and expect to be healthy. You probably achieve a reasonably good physique, but in a short period of time, you start to feel pretty crazy. Happy and you'd probably get pretty sick pretty quick.
Okay. All right, we have one last myth.
The only people who should go gluten-free are patients with celiac.
Well, I have celiac disease, so yes, if you have celiac disease, definitely go gluten-free. If you eat gluten, e.g., you know, regular bread or a muesli bar that contains wheat or barley or rye, and you have no adverse effects on digestion, you don't get bloating or gas or lethargia, keep eating gluten. You want to keep it in the diet, because if you eliminate something like gluten from the diet, you can become sensitive to it. So for the ease of living the rest of your life without any issues, you know, keeping some in the diet is perfectly fine. It's going to have no impact on your fat loss, muscle gain, or your general well-being or health if you don't have a predisposed condition to it.
Okay.
Now, some people aren't celiac, but they do have allergies, so they might eat gluten and get bloating, or they might eat gluten and get a rash. There's a number of things that can happen for some people that have allergies to specific foods. We would advise them not to have those foods.
What personal experience led you to choosing this profession? And now you're the leading nutritionist in New Zealand. So what was the...
what was the light bulb moment?
It's very specific. I was 17 years old, weighed 69 kilos at, you know, 6'2". My friends used to call me coat hanger because I had these massively wide shoulders and this very small head. Not impressed. So anyone, if you call me coat hanger, watch out.
Yeah.
I say that with love, because it made me want to get to the gym. Now, I knew my maths teacher went to the gym at Fraser High School early in the morning, so I asked him if I could train with him, and he let me in, and I'd go train first thing in the morning. Another friend of mine, her mum ran like an acupuncture clinic, and she could order in protein supplements, and at the time they weren't flavoured, it was just plain. So I'd buy the plain protein supplement with my money that I'd made from my paper run. I'd mix Milo into it, drink protein shakes and go to the gym in the morning and start lifting weights to try and build my body. I got quite addicted to the results, and so then I started to look for more information. So I'd go to the library. There was a protein store about 3Ks from my house. It was the only one in Hamilton at the time. This is way before the internet and all that sort of stuff. Like, I wasn't even on a computer. I used my first computer when I got to university, by the way. So I was not...
How old is Jake?
Yeah. No, there was computers around. My mum just didn't want us sitting in front of a computer.
Yeah, fair enough.
We had encyclopedias, and she just had a bookshelf, and if we wanted anything, we'd go to the library. So that was the way we were brought up, not because we're uncivilized, but she believe that she'd want us to learn the old school way. And I like that, because now I have a really good knowledge of reading and researching without just jumping on a computer looking for answers.
On Google.
So I went down to this protein store. I hung around long enough. They gave me this free magazine with all these supplements and bodybuilding pictures, and I must have read it 20 times front to back. And that got me super hooked on, like, how big these guys were, what they looked like. I was just, I wanted to know how they got there. So I just started, you know, basically lifting weights. And I went and boxed for Waikato and then did some powerlifting before I eventually landed into bodybuilding. But that was the key moment, was at a young age, just experimenting with my own body, understanding that stuff. I got 2 scholarships straight out of high school to go do the degree and postgraduate degree that I did. Mm. I also was going to go straight to the Army into officer cadet school. I turned that down to take up the scholarships. And that was what slingshotted me into the path that I'm in now. Mm. I made super good friends with the lecturer of nutrition, and was just that annoying kid who was always in her office asking her questions, and again, just wanted more information for myself. And I would just try things out, you know, and that's how I sort of got started. And I love seeing changes, and I got passionate about it. Mm. And that's just what got me into this industry.
Cool. Very cool. And you just kept going, obviously, like once you started.
Well, I'm still just as passionate and excited for knowledge. And I still love when I find out new information and I try things out on myself. And
if there's a kid starting out, he's 17, he wants to be in the position you are now, what's some advice that you could give him?
Consistency is king. Mm. Don't expect whatever you want to happen overnight, whether it comes to being good at rugby, starting your own business, or just building a muscular or lean physique. All of those things take time, and there will be hurdles along the way. Be consistent and find someone that can help you be consistent, whether it's a mentor, you know, your older brother, you know, get a coach or a nutritionist, someone who can advise you to do things the right way. Or like me, go to the library, do some research, you know, jump online, do some research about the path that's going to get you there. But don't give up straight away. Be consistent with your, for me, you know, building my body, the best results I've had was, you know, was doing it for a sustained period of time, not missing a beat. You know, as young guys, you tend to go out on the weekend and then you, you know, have a good week of eating and then go out on the weekend, and then you'll have weeks where you don't eat as much and don't train as much, and it's just all over the show, and you just never get anywhere like that. If you're going to do something, you know, go all in and really commit to it.
Thank you, Jake, for those insightful discussions. Summer is just around the corner. I need to get ripped. What are some recommended apps you can suggest for listeners who want to track their food? Is apps the right way to go about it?
I'm both for and against apps, because as with anything, knowledge is as good as your understanding of it. Mm. So it'd be like you Googling how to, you know, do a head gasket on your car, but you've never even, you know, gone inside a motor before. It could end pretty bad. So if you have sound understanding of nutrition, calories, what is a protein, carbon, fat, you've kind of measured and weighed your food out before, you know how to train as well, then MyFitnessPal is a great way to track your protein, carbs and fat, plugging foods in, and then you can be a bit more creative and take things in and out. Now with apps, the key is track everything. Track your vegetables, track your sauces, track your drinks, track all the foods you put in your mouth. You can't just track the main ingredients, so the chicken, the rice and the broccoli, and then go chuck aioli on top, and then you're having having a glass of orange juice with it. All those extra calories will add up. So if you're going to track, you have to track everything. Now, if that sounds like a whole lot of hard work and I've just confused the hell out of you, that's when someone like myself would come in and I could build a meal plan that's going to suit you around your lifestyle, the foods you like, the foods you don't like, and teach you some of the stuff along the way, which will give you the skills to do it long term. And that's the key, really, is if you don't have that education, don't jump in the deep end because you might be disappointed. Mm. If you do have that education, then, you know, it is fun to play around and try these things for yourself. And I'm all for that if you know what you're doing, because you wouldn't go just work on your car without knowing what a crescent is, you know?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Absolutely not. Give us 3 tips for someone who wants to lose weight but doesn't know where to start.
www.jcn.co.nz.
Yes.
Times 3.
Times 3.
There's your 3 tips. 2, 3. No. Okay. First of all, I would be consistent with working out. You know, right. Even if you just want to lose 1 to 2 kilos, if you get in the gym, you know, most flex clubs will have a personal trainer who can set you up the free plan to start with. Get in 4 to 5 times a week, do a combination of weights and cardio designed at the level that you're at right now. And if you can consistently do that for a month, I can guarantee you will see changes in your body.
Yes, nice.
That'd be tip number one.
Tip number one.
Yep. Tip number two would be stay on top of your water and your rest. So, you know, 2 to 3 liters of water per day, 6 to 8 hours of sleep per night. Try avoid things with alcohol or your fizzy sugary drinks. Those are empty calories. So try eliminate some of those easy things from your diet. Straight away, you can be saving yourself maybe 1,000 calories a week if you're having, you know, a few beers on a Saturday night and having a couple of cans of fizzy during the week. Let's bin those to start with.
Okay.
The last tip would be make as much food as you can at home. I'm going to look right at you, Vivian.
Stop.
I see you walking
me
in the office.
Stop.
Every day with a different...
Oh my gosh, stop.
Different Uber Eats bag or whatever.
Guys,
the more food, the more food you can make at home, the more calories you will save. Because even if you're making something as simple as a wrap, I can guarantee the lady at the cafe is going to put in the nicest, most high-calorie mayonnaise as possible, some lovely cheese in there. Mm. It's going to be loaded with all these extra calories you don't know that's in there.
Yeah.
If you can make your own at home and be a little bit more lighter-handed on the condiments and choose better quality ingredients, you're going to save yourself some easy calories there and you save yourself some money in your back pocket as well. So those would be my 3 easy tips for beginners without ever getting into tracking macros.
Mm. That was very good.
Thank you. Yeah.
Can you still lose weight and still have a few wines if you do go out with your friends and work colleagues?
You can.
Or maintain,
You can if you understand energy balance. So the user who's tracking their food through an application or someone who's using a meal plan, they could sub out some carbohydrates or fats from their diet and replace that with an equal amount of alcohol calories, obviously not going overboard, and they could still get results.
Okay.
Now, is the results going to be as optimal? No. It is going to have an impact on the rate of fat loss, and the latest studies have shown it has a massive impact on protein turnover, so the likelihood of you building muscle is pretty low. But at least you're not going to gain body fat, so you're, like Nick said, maintaining. Now, if you don't have that understanding, a simple thing you can do is if you're going to go out and you know you're going to have 2 wines with dinner, then you can choose a lower carbohydrate lunch or dinner option that day.
Mm.
So instead of having the risotto or the pasta for dinner plus 2 wines and a dessert, maybe get the steak and salad and then have your 2 wines and skip the dessert. Instantly, you've saved some calories on dinner and you're consuming them through alcohol. So you're going to sort of, that net energy balance is going to be a bit more maintained than if you just went all out.
Okay.
Wow.
That makes sense.
Come November, December, you've got work do after work do.
So, you know, like if you know you've got a work do and you can't control what you're having at dinner, what you might do is go, hey, you know, I'm just going to have a salad for lunch and then dinner time, a smaller portion and then a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Now, 3 top tips to fuel strength training and athletic-based training.
All right, I'd be saying go into the workout fueled. So you need a serving of carbohydrates. So that's your things like oatmeal, even things like Weet-Bix, rice, breads, wraps, serving of carbohydrates, okay? So for those who are tracking carbohydrates, you know, a female anywhere from 20 to 40 grams an hour to 2 hours pre-workout, male anywhere from sort of like 40 to 100 grams 2 hours per workout. Choose a food that digests really well. You don't want to be burping up kumara if you know that sits quite heavy with you. Choose something that's a bit lighter for you. You want to marry that up with a little bit of protein. So female, 20 to 30 grams of protein, male, probably 30 to 40 grams of protein. Proteins are things like, you know, meats, protein powder, high-protein yogurts, those sorts of things, and then a little bit of fat. So that would be avocado, nut butters, oils. So I like personally, you know, personally myself, 2 hours pre-workout, I have rice and chicken and avocado. Mm. As my food goes up, I'll switch that out for something like a gluten-free oatmeal, which is called rice flakes, but everyone could use rice flakes. And I'll mix a protein shake, pour that over the top, and chuck in some nut butter over that. So go in fueled, because that's going to give you the best sort of energy to train.
If it's 2 hours beforehand, mm-hmm. And people are still feeling that, is there a time limit to where the effect of that meal won't have any effect on the workout?
Oh, you're probably looking like 4 hours, five hours. Like you'll digest and probably burn through that. So, yeah, as long as it's anywhere from, some people eat as close as 30 minutes before a workout. Mm. Some people might just have a banana and a protein shake and they feel fine on that.
Yeah.
There's other people like me who I like to have a big meal, but I like to push it out to about hour and a half, 2 hours, and then go in and feel like I have like, you know, a flat tummy. Mm. Yeah. The next step would be after you work out, you need to replace and recover. You think of a workout as in digging a ditch. If you're constantly digging that ditch, but you're not putting the dirt back in, that hole just gets bigger and bigger and bigger as the week goes on. So if you're not recovering from the workout from Monday, come Friday, your workouts are going to be garbage. Mm. So after workout, you want a carbohydrate source and a protein source directly after. Normally with my athletes, I get them to have a fast-acting carbohydrate, so some sort of cereal, an LCM bar, you know, some lollies, cream of rice, mix that with a protein shake, and, you know, have a fast protein and carb straight in within 30 minutes after training. Mm. Get their recovery kick started.
Okay.
Hydration is going to be the next one. Always marry hydration up with sleep, because those two, you know, if you're having bad sleeps, you're not going to have good trainings.
Yeah.
And you also recover when you sleep, so you're not going to recover. That ditch, that hole is going to get real deep by the end of the week. Mm. And hydration, if the cell isn't hydrated, the muscle isn't hydrated, guess what happens? You get muscle tears, injuries occur. So we want to be hydrated, okay? A 1% decrease in hydration will cause a 10% decrease in athletic performance. So it's a pretty big scale.
What is your viewpoint on intermittent fasting?
Oh, that's a big question.
It's a huge trend at the moment.
Again, calorie intake. If you fast for 8 hours and then still consume more calories than your body needs, guess what? You're going to gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
If you fast for 8 hours and consume less calories than your body needs, you will lose weight. That's called the law of thermodynamics. So does fasting work? Yes. But is it any different to a regular diet? No. It's just shortening the window of time that you eat. Now, I look at it as controlled binge eating, because you're saying, well, I'm not going to eat for this period of time, and then I'm going to eat a whole lot in this period of time. Now, I ask you guys out there, if you have children or you plan on having children, is that something that you want to do in front of them?
Mm.
No, little Jimmy, don't eat breakfast or lunch. Save all your food for dinner. Would you tell your child that? No way in heck you would. So why are you doing it?
Mm.
Because you're crazy and you want to lose weight like a crazy person, which you do not need to do these crazy things to do if you educate yourself.
Mm.
Now, if you want to skip breakfast because you're not hungry at breakfast and have your first meal at 10 a.m., is that fine? Yeah, sure. Is that going to have an impact on weight loss? Well, again, if you're eating less than your body needs, you will still lose weight. If you still consume more food than your body needs, you will still gain weight. Mm. The fasting has no impact.
Well, it's one of those things that people say, yeah, and then the cop-out one is like, it gives your body a break from digesting food and it can do other processes.
That really has no impact. Your body's designed to digest food. Your body runs these things all the time. What do you think it's doing when it's sleeping? That's a break. It's a 6 to 8 hour break every night. Mm. There's no need to stretch that break out longer. If anything, shortening the window of time then puts a burden on your digestive system, because you're trying to eat all this food in a shorter window of time. So my counter argument would be like, well, if you didn't put all that stress on it in a short window of time, why would you need such a long break?
Yeah, boom. We'll go like a quick fire one.
Yeah, this one's quick, yeah. When your food choices are tested, so let's just imagine we're all in a car or somewhere, we're going in a situation ahead.
A little road trip.
Yep, all right. So petrol station, recommended things that you would grab yourself or for me?
Beef jerky, fruit pots, protein bars.
Awesome. On a plane?
I'd ask for the low carb or gluten free option when buying my ticket. Those tend to be the lower calorie options for plain food.
Okay. Awesome. And on a road trip, that's pretty much the same as a petrol station, but
like
if you can make it yourself.
Snacks in the car.
Yeah, snacks in the car.
You know, you could do things like your beef jerky, tuna and crackers, those sweet-ass bags of 20 grams of popcorn. They're only 100 calories per little bag. Quite handy, so yeah.
Out at dinner with friends, what are some, I guess, better options?
My recommendations always for people who are watching their calorie intake is choose a lean cut of meat. So, you know, go for the steak or, you know, grilled chicken breast or fish. Mm-hmm. Get it with a side salad, no dressing, or, you know, steamed vegetables, no butter, and ask for the dressing on the side. So you can just put a little bit on there for flavour. Mm. But most of those extra calories are going to come from all the oils and fats in the dressing. The veggies, if you ask them for no oil, are just going to fill you up, and then you've got a nice lean cut of protein. So that's an easy way to sort of handle a dinner out. If you're a bigger guy and you need some carbs, most places will do like a baked potato or something, a side of rice that you can add to that, yeah.
If you could go back, what advice would you tell your younger self?
Well, that's a deep question.
That's huge. That's real deep.
In regards to nutrition?
I love deep.
Just in regards to in general.
Life. Let's go life.
Let's do life.
Smell the roses. Mm. Be present. Very easy, particularly if you have a lot of goals, to focus on the next thing, what's coming up, rather than actually being like, hey, this pretty cool point of time in my life, I've got this stuff going on, or hey, I get to go out with my wife this weekend, or whatever it might be. So just be more present and, yeah, not worry too much about always the next thing, because that next thing's still going to be there, but you can't go back in time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Lastly, Jake, what sort of impact do you want to have on the world?
So my business motto is, ethos, our hedgehog concept, for those of you who know what that is.
Yes, thank you, me. I don't know.
It's called Make New Zealand Healthy.
Mm.
And that is not just from running a successful nutrition company, but doing things like this where I can offer free information. Nothing I do or put out on social media is a secret. What I try and do is try and give as much education as I can and knowledge as I can in the simplest possible format, so you guys can start to make well-rounded decisions for yourself. Even if you pass on one piece of information to a family member and they pass it on, that knock-on effect is doing exactly what I want, which is making New Zealand healthy, which is something that I'm really passionate about.
Mm.
I think that if you have knowledge, then you can make better choices, which will in turn reflect that. So that's basically what I want to leave in the world as my mark.
You're doing that, man. I've been around the gyms. I've seen people that have gone through your plans and it's changed their life completely. So you're doing some amazing stuff, bro.
Well, that's pretty cool. And, you know, that's all. I can't attribute it just to me. I've got an amazing team of people behind me that help make that goal possible, help make all the content that we do possible. Even you guys who, you know, collab with our company, putting that information out there for people to enjoy. It's such a beautiful thing to be able to do that. So we're all playing a part in that, which is awesome.
Thanks, Jake, for coming on today. Did you want to just quickly do your shout-outs of where people can find you and also our Flex Fitness collab we have with you for our viewers and listeners?
So I'd love it, guys, if you follow me on Jake Campus Nutrition on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. Heaps of free content. Go in there, watch the videos. There's heaps of highlights as well that you can watch of previous client meals, transformation information that you can educate yourself. We have a deal for Flex customers. Flex 20 gets you 20% off our lifestyle plan across Flexes nationwide. And in the Hamilton region, Flex 20 will get you off the lifestyle plan, or you can book in our face-to-face consultations for $100. You get your initial meal plan and a free follow-up valued at over $300.